Thank you. That was awesome. Good to be in the Lord's house today. And we are looking in the book of Philippians today, two short verses. And yes, actually, I'm going to try to let you out a little bit early today because there's promotion Sunday. And some of you, that means something. And others, you're like, I don't really know what that means. But there's a lot of shifting going on with our children's ministry, student ministry, and different times in different rooms. And so when I say I'm going to let you out early, what we mean by that is we're going to let you out on time today. And take a look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. As we go line by line through the Word of God, I preach through the New King James Version of the Bible. It's a literal translation. I love it. There's a lot of great translations, ESV, New American Standard, NIV. If you want to read it out of the original language, hey, praise the Lord for that. But the best Bible is a red Bible, and I'm not talking about the color. Make sure you're digging in to the Word of God. And you know what? When we go line by line through the Word, we don't get to skip over the tough passages or the more difficult passages, but we take the whole counsel of God's Word. And God's Word is good for us, even the vegetables. As I tell my kids, hey, the vegetables are even better for you. But today we actually have a very sweet passage in front of us. These two verses, some have described as saying this is the brief biography of Jesus as it really describes the Lord. And it deals with what we think. Yeah, I remember growing up, my parents used to tell me, hey, you are what you eat. Man, that concerned me a great deal. I'm still concerned about that. But even more so, we are what we think. And this is really what Paul wants to address. God's Word wants to speak to us today about what's taking place upstairs here is so very important in every area of our lives. What we think about, hey, it matters. What we set our minds on and what we don't set our minds on, it really matters. And Paul gives some specific thought patterns and practices for believers. He speaks of virtues today. And these virtues were known in the Greco-Roman world. This was stuff that they were familiar with. These were cultural words. As you think about truth and honor and being noble, just, pure, and lovely. And he takes that which was being used in the culture and he redeems it back to Christ. And it's just a beautiful expression about what we think about. And so let's take a look at these beautiful virtues that are to be dwelt on and practiced by God's people today. Paul's now wrapping up and he says, finally, brethren, in verse 8, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on, dwell upon, think upon these things. And what I want to do today is just simply look at these six virtues that he's just mentioned. I want to look at these virtues with you. I know that we could really dissect them and write books about each one, but just as we look at them briefly this morning, I want you to think about these things because this is now, as we understand it, what God wants us to dwell upon in our minds. Meditate on these things. So, whatever things are true. Now, the word true here is truth in a very broad sense. All truth is God's truth. All truth ultimately is God's truth. Truth begins and it ends with God. Jesus is truth, right? He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And as Jesus was speaking to the Father, God the Son speaking to God the Father, he says in John 17, 17, sanctify them, set them apart in truth. Your word, O God, is truth. So God is truth. His word is truth. All truth is God's truth. Not just truth that we read in Scripture, but all truth permeating every area of faith, business, politics, relationships. God's truth wants to resonate throughout every area in the world today. And so he says, listen, whatever things are true, I want you to meditate on these things. And then he also uses the word noble. Some of your translations say dignified. Whatever things are noble or honorable, worthy of respect, a person of moral excellence that is worthy of honor. In Titus chapter 2, verse 2, the Bible says, older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, or noble. There's our word. Self-controlled, sound in faith, sound in love, and steadfastness. So whatever things are true, whatever things are noble. And then he says, whatever things are just, justice, that which is right. That which is right as defined not by man, but listen, that which is right as defined by God himself, by God's word, his standard of holiness. God's people are to, listen, do the right thing in any given situation. My family and I were watching a movie this weekend. I don't know if you've seen or heard of the movie Courageous. Great movie, encourage you to watch that. And there's a scene in the movie with one of the characters, Javier, where he has just finally gotten a job, and he's called into the back office. Evidently, the boss has been watching him for a while. Calls him into the back office, and he says, Javier, we'd like to promote you. And Javier's all excited about that. But Javier, in order to get this promotion, occasionally there's going to be shipments that come in, and when you do the inventory, I need you to write down the wrong number. You're going to not worry about that one box. Just let it go on through. And Javier, who was a believer, said, hey, I don't know that I can do that. I can't write down false information. I got to do the right thing. He says, well, I'll give you some time to think about it. Come and meet me the next day, and you tell me what your decision is, if you want this promotion, if you're going to really be on my team or not. So he really wants the promotion, really needs the money. Talks to his wife, but at the end of the day, he knows exactly what he has to do. You got to do the right thing before the Lord. And so he goes back to the boss the next day and says, you know, I just can't accept that. I can't do that which is dishonest. I have to do the right thing. And so he thinks, I'm probably going to get fired here, lose my job. Well, it turns out the boss was simply testing him. And he reaches out his hand to shake his hand and says, you've just been promoted, if you'll accept the job. Javier doesn't understand. It was a test. The other guy in the room says, hey, I was starting to lose hope after the five other times where people were willing to compromise and not do the right thing. You see, it was a test to see if his integrity would hold. And listen, everyone in this room will be tested many times over the course of their lifetime. Will you do the right thing according to God's word when your time comes to be tested? And if your mind is given over to that which is true, that which is noble, that which is just, or that which is right, then you're way ahead of the game, you see? Because your thoughts determine who you are and ultimately your actions. The Bible says that the just shall live by faith, Galatians 3:11. And so whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are right or just, meditate on these things. The virtues continue as Paul writes, and he says also, whatever things are pure. Man, I don't know what your mind goes to, but I just think of a pure springs of water. I remember as a young child going down to Florida at Silver Springs, and they had the glass bottom boats, and you could see all the way to the bottom, 100 feet down, just as clear as if you're looking straight through the air. The water was so pure. They talked about the purity of the water there. And when he's speaking of purity here, he's speaking of that which is morally clean and undefiled. And it extends to all areas of morality, including sexual purity, moral purity, things that are not tainted with sin or evil. I like what Paul would write to young Timothy as he speaks about purity. this young man in the faith, and he says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, he says, "Let no one look down upon you, let no one despise you for your youth, your youthfulness, but I want you, young Timothy, to be an example to the believers." Young people can be an example to all believers. He says, "I want you to be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. That which is not defiled or tainted by sin, evil, wickedness, the things of this world that are not pleasing to God." And so Paul here says, whatever things are pure, meditate on these things. He also says, whatever things are lovely. Whatever things are lovely, that which is pleasing, likable, worthy of embrace, kind and gracious, things that are spiritually, morally, and aesthetically beautiful and lovely, all that is lovely in creation. The other day, I stepped outside the car and I just looked up at the sky, and the sky was just this deep azure blue, and then you could see the green trees contrasted against the azure blue sky as they moved in the wind, and I just paused and praised the Lord for His unbelievable creation. You know, mankind creates some pretty amazing things, but it doesn't touch the handiwork of God. I mean, you look at the oceans and the sand, and you look at the trees and the sky, you look at the moon and the stars, and to think that He just spoke it into existence, and those things are so lovely. You look at the amazing creation that we live in, and even human beings that God created them in His own image. And what that means, to be created in the image of God, means we have the capacity to have a relationship with God. That's unlike any other aspect of His creation. And these things are lovely. They are pleasing. They are worthy of adoration. And so from a sunset to a symphony, all things beautiful, all things lovely, whatever is lovely, meditate on these things. And then he says, whatever things are of good report, something that is commendable, some of your translations say. It's highly regarded, admirable, it's thought well of, it's a good reputation, something that you would want to go and talk about. Well, as I read that, I said, what's commendable? What do I want to talk about? What is of good report? You know what the first thing that popped into my mind was this lake baptism that's coming up tonight. Pray that the Lord helps us with the rain. He always has, but I don't know. There's a lot of rain moving into the area. But you know what? 42 people being baptized tonight at the lake. Amen? It seems like we just had some baptisms in here. We did last month, and then there'll be more at the lake at the end of the summer. What a beautiful scene out there in God's creation. But even still more beautiful, the redemptive work of God in the lives. Each one has a story of redemption, how God has worked in their lives, that they have been saved, that God has revealed Himself to each one of these who are being baptized. And now, tonight, it's an outward profession of an inward reality where those who are being baptized are saying, hey, I'm identified with Christ in His death, His burial, and the resurrection, raised unto newness of life, and I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the public profession of their faith. I often explain it this way. I have this ring. I love my wife, Emily. I love my wife. If I take this ring off and I set it down, how many of you think, am I still married? Absolutely. But if I didn't wear that, people may not know. And it's an outward sign or symbol of an inward reality that I am married and that I do love my wife. And so the baptism tonight is something that is of a good report. It is something that is commendable. And I want to encourage each one of you to be there tonight to celebrate what God is doing in the lives of our family here at the Creek. And so Paul continues and he says, hey, listen, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure and lovely and of good report, if there is any virtue, anything excellent, in other words, and if there is anything praiseworthy, worthy of praise, don't leave it out. think about and meditate, dwell upon. Let your thoughts be given over to these things. Set your mind on things above and not things of the world. Meditate on these things. All of these virtues combined here are a stunning portrait about and of what we should be meditating on. A stunning portrait of how we as God's people must think. But allow me to read this in an opposite way today. And just think about this. It really helps us to even understand it better. What if I were to say, or if Paul had written it this way? Listen, finally, brethren, whatever things are not true, whatever things are not honorable, whatever things are not right and just, whatever things are, they're not pure, not lovely, not honorable, not of good report, things that have no excellence and they're not praiseworthy, don't think about and meditate. Don't dwell on these things. But you know, unfortunately, as I said, we are what we eat. We take this in as God's people. It is a sad reality that research shows that there is no difference in the viewing habits of Christians versus the viewing habits of those who are not Christians. Junk in, junk out. We're feeding our brains and our minds, meditating on, setting things in front of our minds that are trash, and that's why we live powerless, ineffective lives. You know, research has shown some staggering statistics on how much the average person watches TV and the commercials associated with television. I'm telling you guys, watch out what your kids are watching and your grandkids are watching. Better off just to turn it off. You say it's just a sports, but watch out for the commercials that are going on in between. And all this is just piling into our minds. Can you imagine? Instead of watching 4 hours of TV a day, you know, some surveys say that the average person watches much more than that. TV a day. Can you imagine if we said, hey, I'm going to match for every hour of TV, I'm going to match it with one hour of Scripture. Whatever I watch in TV is what I'm going to spend in God's Word. And that's setting the bar pretty low if you ask me. If that's where we're at as a culture, that we would only match what we watch on TV with the time we spend in God's Word, I want to share with you what the Lord told Joshua. He says, listen, if you want to live a life that counts, if you want to be successful as God calculates success, listen to what God told Joshua, what God says to you today and what we should teach our children and ourselves. He says, listen, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all that which is written in the book which my servant Moses commanded you, and do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper in whatever you do. This book shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate. There it is. You shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. When you meditate in God's Word day and night, how much time do you spend in God's Word? You see, there's value in Scripture memorization. There is value in spending time in God's Word. Do you make that the priority of your life? Do your children and grandchildren say, hey, my mom and dad, my grandmother, they are people who spend time. They know God's Word. You can't live God's Word if you don't spend time in God's Word. And so he says, meditate in this book day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Folks, we have got to have a commitment and a discipline to be not only memorizing God's Word, but to be in the Word, meditating in it. And that's what Paul is getting at here. So a man thinks and so a man goes. And if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Now, guess what happens when we do? Notice in verse 9. Now, the things which you learned, okay, that means you're in the Word. You got to be in the Word to learn them. Listen, knowledge of the supernatural, knowledge of God, doesn't simply happen by osmosis of you standing around going, man, I've been a Christian for 20 years. I guess I'm really becoming spiritually mature. That's not how spiritual maturity takes place. It takes place by digging into God's Word, meditating in the Word. He says, now, the things which you have learned and received and heard, and not only that which is cognitive coming into the mind, but now he sets himself up as this living example. He says, and saw in me. Paul says, hey, remember how I acted? Paul was being a living example. And really, that's how the parents are to be in a home. We are to be living examples. Listen, that's how you are to be in the workplace, so that when somebody sees you, listen, they're the only sermon that the lost world is going to hear. They see your life as you live out your faith in the workplace, in the home. Lost people have to see it all over you, that the fingerprints of God are all over your life, that you're a living testimony, and then hopefully a verbal, a spoken testimony as well. So these things that you've learned, received, and heard, and now have seen in me. Do you see these two words? These do. You see, you never have really learned them until you actually live them. You haven't learned these things until you have lived these things. And these are two very difficult words when put together. It says, now I want you to do these things. These do. You remember, we just finished the book of James. And James said, hey, not only to be hearers of the word, but to be doers of the word. It is an active faith that God wants each one of us to have. Now listen, this is not a message of condemnation that we're reading about here. It's not saying, hey, you've blown it. It's saying, as he's about to get to in verse 13, we'll see next week, hey, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So this is a can do. What Paul is asking them to do is possible through the Holy Spirit working in their lives, and I can do all things through Christ. You say, man, I've blown it up till now. Okay, what you going to do today and now moving forward? God forgives. God restores hope. God equips and enables you to now live out the Christian life. But you have to resolve in your heart and in your life today that I am going to do these things and to meditate on these things. Listen, he's extending a promise to us right here. Don't miss this. He says, meditate on these things and do these things, and then, watch this, the God of peace will be with you. Man, this world is chasing after hope and peace and happiness. We think, if I can just have that vacation, if I can just have that home or that car, if I can just have these things, then I'll be happy. And then I can have peace finally. And you're grabbing at things that don't exist. And Paul's saying right here, listen, if you meditate on these things, if you do these things, the God of peace will be with you in all things. And you will shine like lights in a dark world. The God of peace will be with you. Beloved, meditate, dwell upon, think about constantly these things. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for this rich word today, these verses that are an amazing portrait of how we must think. God, I pray that we would indeed meditate on your word, those things which are true, that we would read your word, that we would be people of your word, these things that are true, these things that are noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, things which are excellent and praiseworthy. Lord, that we would meditate on these things. Pray that we would look to others who walk by faith as examples, as Paul did, and that we would do these things. Father, I pray that you would bless these words to our understanding, that we would be quick not only to understand, but as he says here, to do these very things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.